Go please and turn to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians 5, I would like to this morning touch on the root of all family problems. The root of all family problems. Or if you want a better title, it's called Walking in the Spirit, which is the solution to the problem. Walking in the Spirit. Galatians chapter 5, beginning in verse 13. And there we read, "For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use your liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now, the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. Of the which I tell you before, as I have told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. They that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another." Father, this morning as we look at this passage pertaining to basic Christian day-to-day living, I would ask today that we as your people might learn to walk in the Spirit and not in the flesh. And bless now in this hour our God, for I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, Paul here again is dealing with problems in the churches. He wrote to the Galatian churches, not church singular, but the Galatian churches. But again, I think we do no damage in applying these instructions here for the churches to the home, because the church is the people. And Paul is dealing here with the problems that each and every one of us have. Now, your Christian home has the potential to have a heavenly atmosphere that an unsafe family does not, because you have a new nature and they do not. A born-again Christian has a new nature that we received when we were born again. When I got saved, by the way, it was 52 years ago this coming November, God created within me a new nature, a new spirit, a new Dave Sorensen. And later, as we got married and had a family, folks, I didn't have to teach my children how to lie and to steal and to cheat. Yeah. Their mother did. Right. She's heard that one so often, so many times, she didn't even laugh. But the truth is, we don't have to teach our children how to do what's wrong. Nobody had to teach me how to do what's wrong, folks. I already knew how. It was that old nature that I have, that sinful nature. And here, Paul calls it the flesh. Sometimes he calls it the old man. Sometimes he calls it the carnal nature. But you and I have an old nature. And as we'll see here today, when we walk in the old nature, folks, there's going to be problems. And there will be a problem in a home, in a family, where Christian people are walking in the flesh. But notice here in verse 13, he says, "By love serve one another." And that is the essence of how a Christian family ought to operate. To love one another. But then notice also in verse 15, "But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed lest ye be consumed one of another." Do Christian families ever fight? Sometimes more than we like to realize and admit. Take heed that ye bite, lest ye bite and consume one another. That's walking in the flesh. A major key to a heavenly home is walking in that new nature and not fulfilling the lust of the flesh. By the way, tonight, probably you're going to go down the pathway of how to walk in the new nature. We'll touch on it just briefly here today, the how, but tonight is particularly going to be the how. And so this morning, let's go through the text that is before us here today. Number one this morning, the conflicts of the old nature. Notice in verse 17, "But the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would." There is conflict between my old nature and my new nature. And so it is with you. My old nature is operative. I was born that way, and so are you. And when the old nature is in operation, folks, there's going to be conflict. There's going to be bickering and fighting and biting and consuming one another. The old nature is contrary. And I have it.
Yeah.
And so do you. And a home where at least one party, but if both parties are walking in the old nature, folks, living in the flesh, there's going to be conflict. And there is going to be less for sure than a heavenly home and a heavenly marriage. The pastor mentioned having a slice of heaven. Folks, our homes ought to be a slice of heaven. And they can be if we learn to deal with the old nature and walk in the new nature. And so notice number two this morning. Number one, the conflicts of the old nature. Number two this morning, the works of the old nature. And he begins here in verse 19. And let's just read part of the verse. "Now the works of the flesh are manifest," which are these. They're obvious. It's apparent. That's what the word manifest means. "Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness." He begins with matters of moral impurity. I don't have to tell you that adultery is wrong and adultery is destructive to a marriage relationship. But it happens. And sadly, sometimes in Christian people. Or fornication. The whole spectrum of impurity, immorality. The word uncleanness, I think, pretty well applies to the word pornography. Did you know the word pornography comes from two words in the Greek language, pornos and graphe? And the word pornos means, or what it basically means, is dirty literature. And we live in a world that is swimming in pornography. When I was a teenager, there was one store in our town that sold girly, smutty pornographic magazines. And there was a yellow line toward the back of the store, and you had to be 21 or whatever to go back into the back of the store. Today, I mean, you can, let's see, where's it at here? I mean, you can pull it up right there. You can pull it up on your computer at home. We live in a world that swims in pornography. Uncleanness. It's a work of the flesh. And so moral impurity, sexual sin is always souring and destructive in a family relationship. But not only that, he talks about spiritual bankruptcy in verse 20. Notice, idolatry and witchcraft. You say, well, I'm not into idolatry, preacher. Well, idolatry means putting anything before God.
Yes.
And it may have been in the ancient times that they bowed down to stone statues or statues of wood and gold and silver. And people in some parts of the world still do that. But here in America, we are a little more sophisticated in our idolatry.
Yeah, come on.
It might be the golf clubs.
Yeah.
I mean, it might be the boat. It might be the jet ski. It might be shopping. It might be clothes. It might be money. But there are things oftentimes in the Christian life that we bow down to and we worship and put before God. Idolatry. And then he says witchcraft. He says, well, I'm sure not into that. Well, I hope not. But here's what's interesting. The word that underlies that in the original language is pharmacia. Does that remind you of an English word? Yeah, pharmacy. And what do you get at the pharmacy?
Drugs.
Well, this is obviously talking about illicit drugs. And in ancient times, frequently, the occult, black magic, was accompanied with hallucinogenic drugs. Narcotic drugs. And Paul touches on it here. I mean, I don't have to tell you that we live in a world that's awash in drugs.
Yeah.
And foolish states, particularly in the western part of the United States, are legalizing, for example, marijuana.
Yeah.
How stupid.
Yeah.
Just another way of getting intoxicated. And incidentally, and I could get off on this at length, I won't. Do you know what the root word of intoxication is? Toxic. And whether it's alcohol or whether it's cannabis or any of the all kinds of drugs that are out there, we live in a world that's given to intoxication.
Yes, sir.
How foolish. It's a work of the flesh. And I don't have to tell you the damage and the destruction that intoxication can do to a marriage relationship. Spiritual bankruptcy. You say, "Oh, preacher, I'm not into any of that stuff." Praise the Lord. But boy, folks, we're going to get closer to home now. He talks about an ugly disposition here. Notice, continuing on in verse 20, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings. Now, let's just talk about that a little bit. An ugly disposition. Do families, folks in a home, have an ugly spirit one toward another? I think they do sometimes. It may be being hateful about some incident. It may be argumentative, arguing. That's what the word variance means. Being bitter. Word emulations. Bitter about something that happened years ago. Bitter about something that happened last week. Bitterness. Angry. Buried anger that just simmers about something that happened once upon a time. By the way, forgiveness is burying it, having a funeral, and releasing the bitterness and the anger and being done with it.
Yeah.
But he talks about anger and hostility, being divisive and headstrong and bullheaded and opinionated. Boy, we're getting close to home here, aren't we? Pouting. Being mad. Folks, that's all the old nature. Does that ever happen in the fundamental Baptist people that have been a Baptist people? People being mad and pouting and ugly and divisive at home? Folks, I'm here to tell you, I've been a pastor for 50 years. I know that stuff goes on. And I know just by distance a couple people in this congregation met the wages here this morning, knew them 40 years ago back in Illinois. But for the most part, I don't know any of you. But brother, there are folks here today that got problems with bitterness.
Yeah.
Folks that are fighting. Folks that won't forgive each other. There's anger and strife. That goes on.
Yeah.
It's not because the pastor clued me in on the way here from the airport.
Yeah, right.
Because he didn't. I just know human nature, and I've been a pastor for 50 years, and I know the Word of God. Spiritual bankruptcy. And then notice also, sinfully inclined, the latter part of verse 20, or the latter portion here, verse 21. Murders, drunkenness, revelings. Have Christians ever murdered? I could stand here today and tell you several sad, sad, bitter stories. Maybe I'll tell some at the end of the service. We'll see where the time's at. Or I've seen Christians murder. Drunkenness.
Yes.
It'll destroy a home. He talks about revelings, which is just wild partying. That goes on in the world all the time, and sometimes in Christian lives. And folks, all of these things go to cause trouble and friction and sourness and strife in a Christian family and making a Christian home more like Hades than heaven. And it goes on. Well, moving on here, the middle part of verse 21. The inheritance of the old nature. And he said, "Of the which I tell you before, as I have told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God." Now, is the apostle teaching here that a Christian who drinks, or a Christian who is bitter, or a Christian who looks at pornography, does that mean that he is losing or has lost his salvation? No. When we got saved, folks, we got saved.
Yeah. Thank God.
But when we allow the works of the flesh to operate in our life, we will not lose our salvation, but we very well may lose some of our inheritance in heaven someday. And we begin to erode the rewards that otherwise might be coming to us in heaven. That's what he's talking about. Shall not inherit or have an inheritance in the kingdom of God. Now stop and think about that the next time you have a big family fight. Stop and think about that the next time you want to go online and look at some pornography. The inheritance of the old nature. But then notice also, and I'm skipping ahead in the text on purpose here, the character of the old nature. Notice in verse 24, "And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts." Now we'll talk a little later on about crucifying the flesh. We need to deal with it. We need to put it to death, and we'll talk about that. But notice how he talks about the character of the old nature. It says, with its affections and lust. Now, that word affections has the basic sense or idea of our feelings. Do we have feelings? Yes, we do. But folks, we don't allow our feelings to control us. We control our feelings.
Yeah.
And feelings tend to come out of the old nature. Do you ever had a hurt feeling?
Yeah.
Somebody said something, you got your feelings hurt? Now that sometimes happens at the church. It sometimes happens at home.
Wow.
But just remember where it comes from. That's not coming out of the new nature. That's coming out of the old nature. And think about that the next time you get in a slit and you're pouting and you're all upset because your feelings have been hurt. Had a guy leave our church here a couple years ago because his feelings got hurt. The old nature. And, you know, you might not be screaming and hollering at each other, but you get that icy treatment at home because your feelings have been offended. That's the old nature. And then he talks about the word lust here. And in our modern culture today, we usually think of lust in the context of sexual lust, and that is one element of it. But in its more simple meaning, it's just our desires. And it's just the selfishness of wanting my way. Living for self, for me, myself, and I. This is the old nature. I have it. You have it.
Yeah.
And we need to deal with it. We'll get into a little of that this morning and more tonight. But now let's move on here today. We've talked about the bad news. Let's go to the good news. The sour stuff, let's go to the sweet stuff.
Yeah.
Notice here in verse 22, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness." We're going to talk about those. Now, let me just make this comment. It doesn't say the fruits, plural, of the Spirit. It says the fruit of the Spirit. Think of a cluster of grapes. It all develops together.
Yeah.
And as we walk in the new nature, as we'll see here in just a moment, as we put on the new nature, this sweet fruit of the new nature, which has been created in us, by the way, by the Holy Spirit, this sweet fruit of the Spirit begins to develop in our lives. Love, we talked about that in the earlier hour. That selflessness that will cover a multitude of sins, by the way.
Yeah.
Joy, the opposite of trouble. And that joy does not necessarily mean bubbling over and effervescent. I mean, some folks just have bubbly personalities. I don't. But what joy is something that's down deep on the inside. It's part of the fruit of the Spirit.
Yes.
That gives that sweetness within. Peace, the result of righteous living, the work of righteousness shall be peace, we read in Isaiah. Long-suffering. I had a young Christian say to me years ago, "Pastor, does that mean you have to suffer a lot?" No, the idea here is patience. Being patient, putting up with each other. And my dear wife has to put up with me, I'll tell you. But patience is long-suffering. And as we grow in the Lord and that new nature develops within us, and we become strong in that new nature, it produces patience. I have to fight this all the time. I'm standing in the line at the store, and somebody up there seems like they're taking interminably. I mean, they're paying in pennies instead of a credit card or whatever. And, you know, I'm standing there, and the heat's starting to rise, and steam starts to come out my ears. And or somebody cuts me off in traffic, and you know, I'll say you idiot or whatever, and well, that's the old nature, folks. Patience, gentleness, having a gentle spirit with each other. The word gentle, by the way, is very close in the original language to the word kindness. They're very closely related. Being gentle of spirit to each other rather than harsh of spirit and sharp of spirit. Goodness, just being decent and upright. Faith is trusting in the home situation, trusting one another, being trustworthy. Meekness. Well, there's a word that's largely misunderstood. You know, in our American culture, when we talk about meekness, we think of someone who is Mr. Milquetoast and a doormat. That's not the idea. The idea is having our emotions under control, of being cool, calm, and collected, and not allowing our temper to erupt. Of having, if you want to put it this way, disciplined emotions. We control ourselves, meekness. And then temperance is self-discipline in general, being disciplined in life. And we could take so much time on this and see how that the whole concept of discipline is rooted in the more basic concept of righteousness. But forcing myself, compelling myself to do as I ought to do, that's temperance. And Paul goes on to say, against such there is no law. Nobody's ever outlawed love and joy and peace and long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. They're all positive qualities. Now, come with me for a moment to Ephesians chapter 4. It's over several pages. Ephesians chapter 4. We saw they that are Christ crucify the flesh with its affections and lusts. Notice, Ephesians chapter 4, beginning in verse 22, that ye put off concerning the old man, the former conversation, the old man which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Paul uses a very simple day-to-day illustration here. He says, you put off the old man. Now, folks, I got up this morning and I didn't put on the dirty clothes I had on yesterday. They were put off and I put on clean clothes this morning.
Amen.
I hope you did too.
But we all do that. And in the closet of our heart, there's hanging that new nature that God has given to us when we were born again, when He created that new nature within us. We need to put it on each day. And Paul says, put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. We need to put off the old man. And Galatians, he uses the idea, the thought of crucifying the flesh. In Romans, he talks about being dead to sin. We need to put it off every day.
Yes.
Every morning when I get up and spend time in prayer in the morning, one of the things I mention to the Lord and the Holy Spirit each day is to help me to put off the old nature and put on the new man.
Yes.
And walk in the Spirit today. Folks, by and large, when you get up in the morning, you're going to wake up in the old nature. It is the default position, if I can use a computer terminology here today. And we need to deal with it on a day-to-day basis. Now, tonight in the evening service, we're going to get into specifically, very practically, how to have the strength of spirit to put on that new nature every day.
Yeah.
But this gets right down, and we're talking about spiritual basics, brother.
Yes, sir. Good.
But that affects our home, our family, our marriage. Walking in the spirit rather than walking in the flesh. Putting on the new man rather than living in the old man. Go back with me now to Galatians chapter 5. And notice verse 25. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. See, what's that mean? It means this. If you have a new nature, you've been born again, you have that new nature on the inside, he says, now live that way. Walk that way. Walk in the Spirit. Put on that new man. And walk in the new nature. And as we are aware of the characteristics of the old nature, that selfishness and the hurt feelings and getting mad and angry and all the lust of the flesh, folks, as we are aware of it, then we can deal with it.
Yeah.
And you probably are going to have to deal with the flesh more than once a day. And ask the Lord to forgive you when your temper boils over or something is said that should have been said. Any other things that can so often and easily happen to us. But when we walk in the Spirit, we'll manifest love. When we walk in the Spirit, we will be peaceful one with another. When we walk in the Spirit, we will put up with each other. That's called patience or long-suffering. When we walk in the Spirit, there will be gentleness of spirit toward the other rather than sharpness. We'll be good to each other. We will trust each other and have meekness in controlling particularly our negative emotions. We'll be self-disciplined in doing what we ought to do. And so, walking in the Spirit is the solution on the basic level for the Christian life.
Yeah.
It's true in the home, it's true in the church. It's true in the Christian life in general, but for sure in our homes and our families. And incidentally, when we go to heaven someday, the old nature ain't going. And we will walk in the Spirit in heaven in that new nature, because that's all we'll have is a new man. So let's do it in the meantime. And then you can have a taste of heaven at home and in your Christian life. Walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Are you saved? I hope you are. But if you're saved, are you walking in the Spirit? It just doesn't happen automatically, folks. You need to take steps to address it. Your home can be a heavenly place, or it can be like the other place. But the key to it all is everyone, mom, dad, and kids, walking in the Spirit. This is not a commercial, but in this book we talk about how to teach your kids and have your family devotion so that they walk in the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Our Father, this morning, as we have looked at basic